name of Jesus, amen. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Dear Saints, Pentecost is the great unity feast, the great gathering feast, the great everything is spread apart and now everything is together in one feast. As one pastor put it, it is the great Humpty Dumpty feast. And what I mean by that is that this week, this month, this year, this life of yours, you have had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put you back together. You cannot be united to yourself or with each other. You cannot be united with your family by the things in which you so often look to fix you. Your money, your favorite TV shows, your entertainment, the things in which you trust, they cannot put you back together again. But our Lord does. With his word, his gathering, he unites you, he gathers you. But count me as one who is greatly tempted to think that unity is the greatest thing above all things. It doesn't matter if we're moving forward as long as we are moving in a direction together. Oh, I am tempted towards that so often. To think that as long as we're moving together, we're moving in the right direction. But this is simply not true. So begin to hear just a few of the things in which there was amazing unity that went the wrong direction. There was amazing unity among many in Nazi Germany to think that they were superior to the Jews and the Christians, to all races and cultures, and that they thus then needed to be conquered, forced into servitude or eliminated. There was consistent unity in this country to turn the eye away from the evils of slavery and legalized racism. And there are still large groups that are united in their hatreds of blacks and African Americans and Mexicans and Muslims. There is this frightening statistic that 40% of Muslims throughout the world either approve or at least don't disapprove of ISIS. There is an amazing united front in this country, and it is getting stronger, to undefine marriage as between one man and one woman. There is a unity in this country to say there is no such black and white characteristics of one man and one woman. There is an amazing unity in our culture to begin to say there is no right and there is no wrong, but only feelings. Teachers and parents are having a very, very difficult time teaching morality because young ones and everyone in the culture are beginning so many sentences with the words, I feel. And you cannot correct someone's feelings today. If they feel something, then it must be right. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. Feeling happy and feeling unjudged has become the ultimate goal in this life for so many. And there is amazing unity in it. Rather than the virtues of service and courage and goodness and self-restraint, the classical virtues, or as the Bible summarizes, everything that points outside, we are beginning to begin to think all about the inside. The Bible points us and says faith, hope, and love, and we so often say me, me, and me. So much unity. And so wrong. So harmful. So sinful. And this is nothing new. The very first reading that we had, the one that Miss Jarutha read, points us to a time in which the world was united, together, gathered in one place, And they did so to dominate, to be selfish, and for pride. It was the Tower of Babel. And there is this line in there that defines them, and it still so often defines us when they say, "Let us make a name for ourselves." And if you ever come into this church and think that the only fingers that you can point are there, then tell me to repent. Because I am not immune from a desire to be united in the wrong thing, and neither are you. One of our greatest desires is to be confirmed in our wrongness, to be united in our wrongness rather than repent. When we are angry, we want someone to say, "You deserve to be angry." We want to be united with someone in our anger. When we commit adultery in the heart, on the computer screen, or at Cracker Barrel with the girl in the short skirt, or at work in flirtation with the man who pays a little more attention to me than does my husband, we love to be united in this. We love to hear there is nothing more common on the internet than pornography. We want to hear there is nothing wrong with just a little flirtation. When we are greedy, we want to hear it's your money, do with it what you want. Your happiness means the most important thing to you. It means more than the church. It means more than the poor. When we don't go to church, we want someone to tell us it's where your heart is, not what your mouth is saying and not where your actions are. Despite the Bible connecting everything, when we go to church and we aren't actually listening, we want someone to say, "At least you were there with your body." So much unity. And we look for it. We have so many excuses, and so often the people around us give us more excuses. It's okay. It's okay to fear. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to be selfish. You deserve it. Dear Saints, the Holy Spirit is the great gatherer. He is the great uniter. But there is this wonderful truth that he is also the great scatterer. Two times in our reading, one time with the Tower of Babel and one time in our intro from Psalm 68, it is the work of the Holy Spirit not to gather, but in fact to scatter evil. All evil will be uprooted. It will be scattered. It will not win the day. All evil that confronts this culture, all evil that confronts the church, all evil that confronts you, no matter how united it is, no matter how strong and powerful it may seem, it will not win. It will be uprooted. Dear Saints, take courage. And take courage that all evil that you have within you also is scattered. All thoughts, all words, all deeds. The Holy Spirit comes with his word and he begins to scatter it. Sometimes it is like a big dynamite blast to break your hardened heart. Other times it is like a slow drip that is consistent, but it begins to make a dent. It begins to soften you in how you begin to think about the person that you don't like. It begins to soften you in the things that you are fearing. It begins to soften you, and it is constantly saying to you, "Repent, repent, repent. Your heart needs softened. You need to become more sensitive to the way that you are speaking. You need to become more sensitive to the way that you are thinking. Repent." And it slowly makes a dent in you. And you don't often begin to see the results because it is a slow dent. But perhaps you are growing a little bit in holiness. When evil comes, it desires to do the opposite. Sometimes it is like that big dynamite blast, taking all the good that you have within you and just exploding it away. And other times, it wants to build a callus around your heart. It wants you to hear, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Don't worry about that. It begins to build a callus. Evil wants to take you. The devil wants to take all the good that you have within you, your faith and your hope and your love, the things that are clinging to your Jesus, and it wants to scatter it all away. It is why you feel lonely at times. Because your faith that God never leaves you or forsakes you, the devil wants to scatter that away. It is why you are in despair in this life so often. Because the devil wants to take your hope in God and scatter it away. It is why you speak so cruelly about others sometimes. Because the devil wants to take the love that you have for others and scatter it away. He wants you to be convinced that you are the only one in this world and that you have every right to be fearful and to be lonely and to be troubled. But today, the Holy Spirit, with the voice of your Jesus and in communion with the Father, is the great and wonderful gatherer. He Humpty Dumpties you. There's nothing that can put you together again except his word and his sacrament. One of the great images that the Bible gives us of the Holy Spirit is that of fire. We have it on the day of Pentecost when he manifests himself with tongues of fire. We have it in the preaching of Jesus, or a preaching of John the Baptist, actually, who says, I baptize with water, but there will come to me a time that will one that is mightier than I, of whom sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. It is one of the great images of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many campers we have around us, any ones who like to be out in nature. But for all of human history, fire has been one of the great scatterers of fear and loneliness. That when someone is worried about animals, when somebody is worried about what comes in the darkness, when somebody is lonely, one of the greatest natural desires is to build a fire. It enlightens, it warms, it comforts. And today, with the preaching of Jesus, that is exactly what your heart is having done to it. That as the Emmaus disciples, after the resurrection of their Lord, were being preached to their Lord, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? So the Holy Spirit comes to you, gathers you, fixes you, heals you, tells you that Jesus loves you, lightens up all the clarity that you have in the world, saying that God is not against you. If God is not against you, then who can be? He is the wonderful gift. Your redemption and your confidence and your security are all put back together again. Because everything has been completed in Jesus. That you hear the mighty work of your sin, you hear the mighty power of this world, and then you hear the preaching of Peter that points to you of the mighty works of God. Once again, that we are living in the last days, that there is nothing left, that Jesus is waiting on to come to gather you together in fullness and in purity forever, than his patience and his love for all the lost ones. So, dear saints, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. That you have trouble and that you have fear is assumed. but that the Holy Spirit, along with Jesus and the Father, move in. They make a dwelling within you through this word, through the preaching, through the reading of the Holy Scriptures, through prayer, and through the receiving of the sacrament today. They move in, and there fear and trouble cannot abide with them. They are too big. They fill your hearts. They let your trouble melt away. It's not as if you don't have it, but it is as if the Holy Christian Church is reminding you that you know a peace that the world cannot give, a heavenly peace, a peace that dwells inside, that no matter what is happening on the outside, you know that you have been gathered again today with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with each other. For as there is one loaf, so you receive one bread. We all receive the same food today. We are all united in being born of water and of the Spirit. We all receive the same cup. And you are gathered. You are Humpty Dumpty. You are fixed. In Jesus' name, amen.